Hello everyone. Turn to the last book of the Bible, the chapter 19. We begin a new section, as it were, of our study regarding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this world. We have looked at the signs that will tell us that his return is drawing very near. One of the first signs we looked at was the return of Israel into the promised land. And we know that that happened. And as a result of the Jews returning to their own land, in 1948, the state of Israel came into existence again. There had been no Israel as a state on the map since the Romans had destroyed the city of Jerusalem in AD 70. Till nearly 2,000 years had passed, and suddenly the Jews were back. And God said he would bring them back before his return. Now, we looked at various things, and the last thing we were looking at was the siege of the city of Jerusalem by Antichrist and his armies and supporters. And the siege has ended after how long? 3.5 years, or 42 months, or 1,260 days. God puts it in those three measurements in order to get you to remember it, and to recognize it. Well, at the end of these 3.5 years, the siege is ended by the Lord Jesus coming and intervening and delivering his people from Antichrist. There are so many things happen, by the way, when the Lord Jesus comes. So many things that it's difficult to just remember to deal with them all. You know, I came down here to the assembly with notes ready, my homework done, to speak to you about the conversion of Israel that will take place after the Lord returns. And as I arrived here, you may have seen me slipping into the room there, it suddenly occurred to me, well, you know, I haven't told them what will happen, Antichrist. I've told them he'll be defeated and all the rest of it, but I haven't really told them the details that are given us in the Bible. So I scrapped the homework. You'll get it another day, or maybe even a month, and I'll deal with another matter today. Now we're going to read Revelation 19. Revelation 19, and we're reading verse 11. Revelation 19, the verse 11. And I saw heaven opened. I want you to think about this. Heaven opened. When you look up, you know, even on the clearest of days, you just see the creation that is above you. At night you can see the stars and the great universe. But here's something different. Here is heaven opened. Here is a seeing of that which otherwise is invisible. This is God's heaven, where the Lord is, where the angels are, opening up. And one day, boys and girls, one day, that will happen. And the people of this earth will see that, which ever so many of them have laughed at and said, it doesn't exist. Oh, they'll know it exists on this day. Verse 11 then. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. Here's what he sees first and foremost. Here's what his eyes are drawn to first and foremost. A white horse. Throughout the Bible, you know, the white horse is the horse of the king. That's what kings rode. And this is the horse of the King of Kings. And behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. That's one of the glorious names of the Lord Jesus. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The armies are riding white horses also. Because the saints of God, you see, will be kings on that day. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron, not destroy them, as some people think, you see, that when the Lord Jesus comes again, the world's going to be just burned up, and they'll come into existence a new heaven and a new earth. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Here's the Lord Jesus coming, and he's going to rule the nations. Not ruin them, not destroy them, not wipe them out, but rule over them. Read on. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Oh, some will feel the wrath of God on that day, but not all. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. Boys and girls, the study of the Bible requires us to remember what we read, and then link it with similar passages to that which we're reading, and just like a jigsaw, build up the picture. Now, can anybody remember a passage, we read it very recently, a passage with words very similar to those we have just read? Keeping your finger in chapter 19, turn back to chapter 6. We read from verse 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind, and the heavens departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man. Do you see now the resemblance to what we have just been reading over in chapter 19? We're looking at the same group. We're looking at the same crowd. And here they are. And they're crying to the rocks and to the mountains and saying, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? And in chapter 19, you have the same scene. Turn back to it. It's the same scene, only there's this little bit of extra information. You have an angel standing in the sun, and he's calling to all the birds, the carrion crows, the magpies, the vultures, and he's saying, come to the great feast and eat the flesh of the army of Antichrist. And it is the army of Antichrist, because in verse 18 of chapter 19, you have the same description as is set before us, almost word for word, in chapter 6. That ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. That's rather an ignominious, rather a shameful end to this army of men who had walked this earth ready to defy God. Indeed, defying God, ready to fight with the Lord Jesus Christ and believing they could overcome him. Here's how they end up. Bird food. Their bones are picked by the birds of the air. Can anybody remember anybody else who ended up like that? Because we have referred again and again to this particular incident and told you that it was a picture of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody remember? What did David say to Goliath? Goliath shouted at him and look at this wee brat that's coming out to fight me. Come on, son, and I'll tear you limb from limb. That's what he said, more or less. What did David say to him? That's right. He says, I'm going to take your head off because you have challenged God. And I come to you in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to take your head off. And I'm going to feed you and the army of the Philistines to the fowls of the air. Oh, boys and girls, the Lord, time and time and time again throughout the ages, has given us pictures of the great day when the Lord will return. That, by the way, is 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read the words because I could never put them so well as God the Holy Ghost has put them down. Verse 46, 1 Samuel 17, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. How glorious are those words. And they are a foretaste, all those years ago, of what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes. The angel calls to the birds, come and feast. And the army of Antichrist is going to be slain right round Jerusalem. There's some very vivid descriptions given us in the Bible of that slaughter. And the corpses of the defeated army of the Antichrist will be devoured by the birds of the air, summoned to the great feast by the angel. But let's read on another little bit. Verse 19. Boys and girls, oftentimes in the Bible you will find a combination. For God, although he never numbered the Bible in chapter and verse as we have it, that was done, maybe about 500 years ago or so, by a man. But nevertheless, I believe God superintended that. So that oftentimes you come on a combination of chapter number and verse number that is easy to remember. And here's one that's easy to remember. Chapter 19, verse 19. Look at what it says. And I saw the beast. Who's the beast? Right! If you weren't sitting on the front row, I'd say, come up to the front row. That was a good answer. Yes, the Antichrist. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth. I'll remind you, boys and girls, that when studying prophecy, very often the earth does not refer to the whole globe, but just to that portion of the earth at the center of which is Israel. That's the earth. Remember it said the whole world came to be taxed in the days when the Lord Jesus was born? Do you remember that? The whole world? Well, it wasn't the whole world. America wasn't taxed. Canada wasn't taxed. Australia wasn't taxed. It was the Roman world, which is oftentimes the earth, or the prophetic earth. The earth referred to in prophecy. And the kings of the earth are not the kings of America or Russia or China. They're the kings that come from the Roman earth, that territory, who have assembled to support Antichrist. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. That's why they were there. They were at Jerusalem, yes, to overcome Jerusalem, to destroy and slaughter the Jews, but they were doing that because they hated the God of Jerusalem and the God of the Jews, and it was him they were really fighting. How brazen is man that he should dare such a thing? Well, they're not going to win. They were going to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken. That's the end of it. There wasn't a big, long, drawn-out war. The beast was taken. That was it. The Lord Jesus didn't have to come and fight and fight and fight and fight and fight. Oh, no, he just came and took the beast. Again, like David. Goliath expected, you see, he would meet David and there'd be a bit of a dancing round each other and swiping and blocking, sword thrusts and having a jab with a spear and all sorts of things, but it never happened. David just went whiz, 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 and gone. It's over. Done with. In a moment. Just like here. When the Lord comes, he will instantly overthrow the Antichrist. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him during his time of ruling and reigning and his time of dominance in Jerusalem. This is what the false prophet had done. He had wrought miracles. Deceived many. Just like the magicians in Egypt. They had wrought miracles. They had turned their staff into snakes. I don't know how they did it. But the Bible says they did it. It also says, of course, that Moses' rod that was turned into a serpent gobbled them all up till they never got their walking sticks back again. Oh yes, the devil's men can work miracles, do that which is above nature. The beast and the false prophet, the one who did these miracles, he's taken as well. These were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. What a dreadful end. These were wicked, wicked men beyond our understanding. But even so, you tremble when you read about what will happen. Boys and girls, you need to be saved. Because the lake of fire is where all will go eventually who are not saved. Cast into the lake of fire. And the remnant, that's what was left of Antichrist's army, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Here's one of the first things that will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Yes, he'll deliver Jerusalem. And in delivering Jerusalem, he defeats Antichrist. And Antichrist and his companion in wickedness, the false prophet, they are taken alive. Alive. Not killed. Alive. And cast by the Lord into the lake of fire. Many other things. We'll be looking at those. Oh, next week. I have a feeling we're going to be looking at those next year. Never mind next week. There's so many things, boys and girls. And I want you to know them and understand them. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Take our thanks, Lord. Give understanding to the boys and the girls. Give them a memory for this. How the devil would come, like we read in the parable, and snatch away the seed. But Lord, I pray that the seed of God's word will be buried deep in their hearts. Bless us, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen.